Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Are you ready? Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Now, people, before you start thinking we're drinking Haterade in the studio, it's Barry, it's Joel, and it's the spirit of good discussion as we have been talking about coaching vacancies, the University of Texas, Texas A&M.
No, I hate you now. That's it.
See, that's it. We're not speaking outside of work ever again. Nick's worried about having to referee.
At commercial break, don't even look at me.
At the break, Barry stepped out of here because he didn't want any more confrontation.
You made me sick. I had to go throw up.
Nick was on the other line at Foot Locker trying to get one of their uniforms to see if he could use it to referee the next couple segments. But for regardless of what you think, I think it's the spirit of good discussion.
Oh, yeah.
We got a good
fun.
Discussion
that
going
was
right
good.
Now.
We hadn't had one of those yet.
That's right. And we can break things down for
I'm
you
I'm not
all
hugging
day.
You, though.
No, for
I'm
God,
not,
no.
I'm not hugging
First
you.
First of all, you got to wash your hands.
I do.
With all that being said, Raheel is out of the discussion because he doesn't use soap. And Ray, you are next on the program to talk about what's next for UT.
How you guys doing?
What up, Ray?
Hey, so my question is this. If you do fire Coach Strong and you whiff on Tom Herman, what's the backup plan? Who's out there? I mean, you have all these schools talking about recruiting Tom Herman to their sideline. What happens if UT can't get him? Who is the optimal replacement for that?
I think it's a great question. Before you hang up and listen, I'll throw to you what Barry and I have been talking about. Is 3 years a big enough sample size for Charlie Strong to be able to pass judgment and say it's time to move on?
Being that I'm a Navy man, I would sit there and say, no, it's not. You might have a very huge and rabid fan base, mm-hmm. But with all these single talking points that ESPN and a lot of other these sports experts that put out there, it's more like clickbait. They're not giving anybody a chance to do exactly what they want to do. And what I've seen from the Texas fans is this win-now mentality, but they're not building upon it. They're not doing anything to help it. They don't, if they start to lose a game, they all shuffle out 50% of the time, before halftime if they're getting blown out. There's no support, not from the fans, not from the alumni. It's just sad to watch, And it's not just UT. A&M will do it. I've seen even pros here in Texas.
Yeah,
do it.
I was gonna say we talked about this. That's a product of just the fan bases in the state of Texas. It's unfortunate, but it's there's a lot of different reasons why people attend sporting events in the state of Texas, and it's not the fandemonium of just being a passionate supporter of your team, but I think that
it doesn't look like that at all. It just looks more like it's more of a status. Oh, I went to the game. Yes, woo. There was no real support.
Yeah.
I was born in Texas. I love Texas. I love all the Texas teams, but I got to say,
it's great insight.
Really
and Ray, I guess, and Barry, you feel free to take a shot at this too. I mean, when you look at the names that are going to be out there, obviously Les Miles has already said he's going to see what's out there. And if you want a guy that's kind of on the downside, but a guy that's been established and a guy that knows what to do with the big-time program, but also has problems recruiting quarterbacks, you could look at a guy like him. If you look at young and up-and-coming guys, if you want a defensive guy, a guy like Aranda who came from Wisconsin, went to LSU, and maybe in limbo because of the fact that, you know, there's going to be a new coach in Death Valley. So if that happens and LSU gets a new coach and he doesn't fit, Dave Aranda could be a guy that could fit in there. You could look at a retread that has a lot of name recognition, and in a program like Texas, a lot of times you need someone with name recognition. So you could look at coordinators. You could look at guys like...
What about Sterling Gilbert? I mean, their offensive coordinator. Couldn't he move up?
Yeah, I mean, you could look at Sterling Gilbert. You could look at Major Applewhite.
I doubt they move up from within, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're making a change like that at the head coaching position, I mean, to me, guys that you might see, one name that gets thrown out a lot after Tom Herman now, since he's the hot name, but a lot of times you'll hear David Shaw. His name will get thrown out there. There's names that are floating around like Brian Harsin from Boise State.
Lane Kiffin.
Greg Schiano is another one, and Josh McDaniels, too. These are all names that I see a lot, and that there was you go out and you look at, all right, well, who's up next? These are some of the names that I saw for Texas.
So. Well, Lane Kiffin's going to be a guy that's going to be thrown out all over the place again because he's a strong offensive coordinator. The question then becomes, can he do what he needs to be as a head coach because he's violated so many rules at Tennessee and SC? And Steve Sarkisian's another one. No one's ever questioned his ability to be an offensive mastermind and one heck of a coordinator, but because of off-the-field issues with his personal life, he lost the opportunity at Washington. Will he get another chance? He's currently an advisor at Alabama, but those two guys under the Alabama watch are going to be guys that are watched throughout the college football landscape to see if they're worthy of another opportunity to be a head coach. With that, we head it over to Stu, who wants to continue the discussion of Charlie Strong. Stu, welcome.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, my question is this. I'm a big Texas fan, Texas graduate, and alumni. I want Charlie Strong to be successful, but what I'm confused by is a guy that hammers on the table for discipline. I need my guys in the locker room to be leaders. I need no mistakes, not late for meetings, all of these things. But it absolutely doesn't translate to the field. If you look at the Cal game and the Oklahoma State game, I've got blown assignment one in the secondary, blown assignment X in the secondary, people double covering the wrong guy with two guys streaking down the middle of the field, scoring touchdowns where there's not anybody near them. How does the tough guy coach translate into a disciplined football team? Because we want him to be successful. We want a strong coach to be there to recruit in our area and to be successful. But when I see all the fire and brimstone and then this undisciplined team, I don't understand the translation. Well, can you guys help me figure that out?
No, I mean, you make a great point. You know, and I don't proclaim to watch every UT game that comes on, but you make a good point. You can't preach discipline off the field, but not expect it on the field. And you have to hold those guys accountable. I mean, like Joel said earlier, you know, he cleaned house when he got here, right? Recruits and everything else. And maybe that was a mistake. Maybe the cupboard wasn't as bare as he thought it was. And Mac Brown left him some talent, but because he felt like they lacked the discipline that he required, he goes out and cleans house. Now he really does have to start over from scratch from a recruiting standpoint. So how much does he have to absorb the blame for cleaning house to begin with and not holding his players accountable on the field?
Well, Stu, the other question is, which you bring a great point, because I specifically in the Cal game, I saw confusion abound on the defensive side of the ball way too much, and everybody looking at each other with palms in the air like, are you doing this? You should be there. Where were you there? And there's not enough accountability. With that, I put it on his coaching staff. And if that's the case, just like him taking over play calling, like we've heard way too much in too many situations here in Houston and around the state of Texas, but that's when you start losing confidence in your assistant coaches. You hire those guys. You bring them in. You're responsible for them, just like you're responsible for the college athlete. So therefore, if they're not getting the job done, then you better find guys that can get it done, and you got to make sure you have enough time to be able to make the switch. Right now, time's running out, and Charlie Strong has got to do a lot of things differently if he wants to hang on to that job of UT. We want to hang on to you as listeners and callers, so we want to talk about what you want to talk about right now, this dialogue about college coaching and the University of Texas situation and how it affects University of Houston has carried the last couple segments. We're willing to keep going as long as you are. Give us a call, give us a text, give us a tweet. We're here till 4, ESPN 90. 97.5 FM. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy.
infuse energy into your life.
It's a JB Wednesday. It's Joel and Barry, and we are fired up talking about Charlie Strong and talking about the landscape of college football in the state of Texas.
State of Houston is
state
good,
of Texas
too.
And Houston the state of the University state. Of Houston and Tom Herman, as it may affect the situations that are ongoing with discussions all around the state with A&M. Sumlin's got a big game this weekend. Barry's already said Tennessee's going to take it.
What? No, you said that yesterday.
You picked Tennessee.
I did.
You picked Tennessee.
But understand, I need to put an asterisk on that, and then we're going to get to Kurt. But I do need to say that I say that from the standpoint not of analysis as an objective sports talk radio guy.
Oh, but you said it.
Yes, I did. I'm owning it, Joel.
Okay.
I'm just prefacing by saying I say it from the standpoint of an Aggie fan who has been through this year in and year out. They get your hopes up, and then when the time comes, they crush every little dream you have.
I picked them.
And that's why they're
going to
lose.
I picked them to win this weekend. I'm not saying
it has nothing to
do
with objectiveness on the field, who's better, who's got the better offense, defense, and so forth. It's experience.
I won't dictate
talking.
The rest of the season, and I believe that unless they really stay in the discussion until and or through the SEC championship game and they're a part of it, I think Sumlin is back on the hot seat, and that could be a huge topic of discussion, just like Charlie Strong is now, because of the fact that he recruits his tail off. He didn't have to dig out of a hole to get there. He gets all the recruits, and A&M lines up quarterbacks and otherwise, and they just don't perform well on the field.
He's got a swag copter. Yeah, recruiting.
That copter recruiting, is ridiculous. If you
recruiting
can't get guys
should
to
not
go to
be
A&M
his fault.
When he lands a helicopter next to the stadium, and by the way, he's recruiting guys on both sides of the field, pretty impressive.
That's
pimping. So, yeah, he has no problem recruiting. His is getting them to perform in his system once he gets him on the field, and getting him to stay there based on what we've seen in the mass exodus between the quarterbacks, the receivers coach, and all that. We went through a lot of that. But you know what? We've got calls lined up, and this one is a personal guy. I know him. I know he knows sports. I know he loves to chime in, and I am absolutely ecstatic that my man Kurt Lowe is joining us on this show as opposed to others that I've been on in the past. Kurt Lowe, welcome to the show. What do you have, my man?
My main man, Joe Blake, man, the real voice of the Rockets, man. What's going on, man? It's good to hear your voice again.
Hey, man, good to hear you. I'm glad you're alive and well, because I was worried for a while. But now that I know that you are back in communicative mode, I feel a lot better and I can relax a little bit.
Yeah, I was a little sick for here and there, but you know what I mean? God's blessing me, so you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, but, I feel that way.
But, Joe, man, this is not your home, man. You meant to be talking about basketball, man. The basketball is back, Houston. You know what I'm saying? They should be excited about this team. You know what I mean?
Wait. Which team are we talking about, Kurt Lowe?
What?
The Houston Rockets. What else are we talking about?
Who? What?
Houston.
Kurt Lowe, did you?
What?
First of all, you were supposed to start out with your take on UT and Charlie Strong, but you went strong right into
come on, son.
Your Red Nation affiliation.
I'm excited about the season. You know what I mean? I love football, but I don't know too much about the footballs. I don't want to say something and I'd be wrong.
About
you know what
the
I'm
footballs.
Saying?
So, Kurt Lowe, here's what you did. You got in a 5-speed and you hit the clutch and you went from first to fifth gear with like no in between.
Kurt.
So you just took us right out of college football, which it says on the board. You went right to the Rockets. Now, let me ask you this. Did you watch the game last night?
Oh, man, did I watch it? It was like watching you know what? I hate the New York Knicks. I hope they lose every game, you know what I mean, just because of Melo and Rose. But it was exciting to see those guys play with each other with chemistry-wise, you know what I mean? They look excited to play with one another, you know?
So, Tom, So, Kurt Lowe, so basically you're putting a lot of faith in what happened last night, because you and Nick may be two of the only guys that actually spent a lot of time watching the game last night, because a lot of Twitter people that have said, why aren't we talking about the Rockets? And I said, well, first of all, I get lambasted if I taught basketball in October. But second of all, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it or see it, did it actually fall? Because no one's really – we even had a poll to say, how interested are you in the Rockets preseason? And we got zeros. So, I mean, I would not get too geeked up about a Rockets victory over a Knicks team in the second game of the preseason. And I will throw this out to you. How do you feel about the fact that the only D that Mike D'Antoni has ever known is in his last name? And the fact that if the Rockets are the epitome of a 25-letter alphabet and there's no D in it, that you may average 116 points a game, but there's going to be a lot of teams scoring 117?
Listen, Joel, come on, man. You're being a negative Nancy right now.
No, I'm just, you know? I'm being a devil's advocate and throwing out real questions toward, if we're going to keep it real, I'm throwing out questions for a guy that has come out and really seriously drank the Kool-Aid, because you are all fired up like this Rockets team.
Oh, yeah.
See? That red pitcher just came flying through the wall, and it is literally giving you your second glass. I want you to see it half full, but I think it's overflowing right now, and it's too early to be calling it like that when you see how strong the Western Conference is, let alone the rest of the league.
Listen to me, Joel. What are the Golden State Warriors so great at?
Did you watch them last night?
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Kevin Durant had two or three block shots. They play, when they go to that suicide lineup and they go small and get in the passing lanes, they play defense as well as they play offense athletically. They stop people, and then they jam it down your throat. They made the Clippers. Now, if you want to talk about preseason, they made the Clippers look like the Clippers shouldn't be in the playoffs, and I guarantee you the Clippers will be top four in the West the entire season.
Yeah, but you know the Clippers got one of the worst benches in the NBA, so you can figure why they were so bad last night, because they had all the, you know, not most starters didn't play most of the game. You know what I'm saying? But that's not what I want to talk about. Listen, Joel, the formula is simple with Harden. They finally figured it out. You surround Harden with three elite three-point shooters. This Harden is just like LeBron James when it comes to passing on offense. He's setting up people easy shots on the team. Listen, Joel, this is the thing, man. The Rockets were 19th in three-point shooting last year, right? That's going to increase with a guy like Ryan Anderson, Decker, what's the other guy's name?
Eric Gordon. Kurt, listen. I need you to slow down and pump them brakes, man. This is one preseason game with the Rockets, right? You do understand that you went out and got two of the worst defenders in the league in Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon, right? I mean, you had to go dip into the Pelicans to get some offense, and you actually ended up getting worse on defense. So it's like Joe said, they may score 116. They're going to give up 120 every night. And to say that James Harden is the answer at point guard, you understand that this man led the team in turnovers, right? Like, he turns the ball over constantly, and that's what worries me about them making him a point guard. But,
well, and Kurt, here's the other thing to Barry's point. If James Harden becomes your point guard, you just got worse defensively, because now Pat Beverly's on the bench. Pat Beverly's one of your best defenders, and if he's not on the floor, you need to stop people.
The last 3 years, James Harden has led the league in my bads, which is a stat I made up. But he has led the league in my bads. That's true. That's a fact. Look it up.
That's because he's playing 40-plus minutes. Also, don't forget, man, they have a bunch of defenders over there. They got Capella, they got Beverly, they got Ariza, they got KJ McDaniels, who's a former defensive player of the year for the ACC. You're talking about a whole team field. And don't let me forget my main man, Montrezl Harrell, that's about to break out this season if they let him.
Chicken pox? Or a rash?
No, I'm talking about.
Because he's going to break out. But, I mean, it's nothing that hydrocortisone can't take care of. Because what I'm talking to you about is the fact that you, and look, again, Kurt, you know how real I'm keeping it? Because I'm gonna say this about one of my boys from Wisconsin. You put Sam Decker in that list of guys that you thought was an elite three-point shooter. And I will tell you this, honestly, as honest as I can tell you this, the biggest shortcoming in his game is his three-point shot. And even when McHale was coach and they watched him, there was the fear of God when he had to shoot that three-ball, because the ball's different in the NBA from college. He had to make that adjustment. Then when he started missing, he just felt like he didn't have any confidence. You can see, like, when the ball gets in his hands and he's outside that arc, it's the, oh, you know what, in his mentality of, oh, God, I got to shoot this thing. I just don't see it. Ryan Anderson, yes. Eric Gordon, if he can stay healthy, may be able to help. But again, I throw this out to you. Why do you sign Eric Gordon a $15 million a year deal when he plays the same position as your guy, James Harden? And that means you either got to make a really funky starting lineup, or the guy that you spent all this money on is coming off the bench. Just a question.
Listen to me, man. James Harden's been the point guard for the years he's been in Houston. They just put a name on it now. You know what I mean?
I don't disagree with that, Kurt, but you didn't touch anything I just said.
Patrick Beverly shot 40% from the three last year, okay? I understand the injury part. That's debatable. You know what I mean? We never know what's going to happen. We never know. You know, everybody in New Orleans and on the Pelicans is always hurt. You know what I mean? What is it? The water over there? You know what I mean? Maybe it's a fresh breath of air. You know, they're in a new system. They're in a new thing. With James Harden and the new role players we got, they already have defenders that can counter what they do. You know what I'm saying? You got Capella that's going to be protecting the center. So you can allow Ryan Anderson
Kurt. As Barry said, just pad the brakes and pull the little emergency brake in between. We're only two games into the preseason. Now, we're not going to cut you off. We're not going to dismiss everything you're saying, because the possibility lies with you being able to prove this by seeing how the Rockets play. But for the time being, we need to just kind of breathe, and realize that there's a lot to digest here and look at, and we will be breaking it down. But at the same time, I am not ready to crown them. As Dennis Green said, I am not, I'm not giving, they are who we thought, who I think they are right now.
Who we thought they were.
Yes. Until proven differently, that's who I see the Rockets to be. We agree to disagree at this point, and we'll let the season play out. And as we continue with the season, we'll continue to talk. You can continue to call, and we can continue to break it down and see who's right, who's wrong. But that's the beauty of this show. We're not talking about life and death. We're talking about sports.
But when I'm mad at the Rockets, I'm going to replay that call by Kurt Lowe because he just loves his Rockets, and I love that.
I want to know who Kurt thought, if he thinks Charlie Strong is going to be around at the end of the season. I like how he kept calling you Joel. That's why I started calling him Kurt.
If we're
breaking up names.
When I'm keeping it real, from me to Raheel, I am Joel. Just remember that. And we are ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, welcome where the hot stove meets the round table, and we flinging around for a while and see what you think in the process. We are kicking around a lot of things, and we've been kicking around Charlie Strong and UT and coaching opportunities in college, and then Kurt Lowe happened, and we got into some Rockets talk, and once we got a tourniquet for all that Rockets red that was bleeding out of his body, we wrapped him up and put him on ice where we can get back to him at a later date. And get back to the discussions that you guys want to talk about, text about, and tweet about. And with that, I turn it over to my partner, Barry, who has been manning the lines of text messages with some people that want to chime in.
Barry. Yeah, going back a little bit, a couple of folks chiming in on some discussions we've had throughout the day. Somebody said that all they get are cans at Minute Maid Park, including Miller Lite. So apparently, I'm the only one that doesn't know about this. But I'm not a big drinker.
I'm with you. I didn't know that either.
So, you know.
But hey, as long as it's Miller Lite and they're keeping it real from Milwaukee, I like
that's
it.
That's right. That's right. So a couple of other texts. Somebody said when we were talking about the Big 12, somebody said, please also mention how the Big 12 style of play doesn't transfer to the NFL anymore. It's hard to get kids if they can't go to the league. Actually, I mean, that's true across the board. Everyone now is running that spread offense, which doesn't necessarily translate to the NFL. It's why some of these quarterbacks struggle or take a little longer to get adjusted once they do get drafted. So some other things. This is a text from 832. People have to get over the stigma of it's UT and everyone should want to play there. That's not the case anymore. They're just another school in these kids' eyes. And that's probably a good point.
That's what Mack Brown did. Mack Brown changed the culture and the reputation and the ability for UT to get in anybody's living room. And we had this discussion a few weeks back, Nick, if you remember. And Trav, and I think we eventually brought Keenan into the discussion that day, but it was simply because of the fact that it is the boys club when you start talking about recruiting in Texas. Mm-hmm. And when you're in, you are gold. But when when you get on the outside looking in, it takes quite a while to get back in. UT, which was always the top of the list on in, suddenly was out. And it was like, man, you know, that's why I ask in a nutshell why, if the sample size was big enough, because they had to spend the last couple of years just trying to get back in. That's why U of H and Tom Herman was able to hopscotch over so many to be one of the top two getting into living rooms in the state of Texas because UT fell out.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it is a good point that you have to understand that you. Not only have these guys come back to the pack some, but the pack is catching up to them at the same time. And while I still think UT is a destination school for a lot of kids, A&M changed that narrative somewhat when they went out and got Kevin Sumlin. TCU and Baylor is now – I mean, all of these schools, other than – I mean, Tech is down, obviously, but the majority of the major schools in Texas that are playing football in the NCAA are now – they matter now. All of them matter. When it used to just be A&M and – UT, and that was it. And then you would go to OU or LSU if you went outside the state. But now people want to play Baylor. But people want to play at TCU.
Well,
they want to play at
Baylor.
Baylor
got on the in until the entire program got on the
correct.
Outs. But yeah, Briles did a lot to put them on the map in the state of Texas too.
Yep. We got some other text. Somebody said, Petrino, is that a good fit for UT? That's not a bad question, but I don't think he's going anywhere.
They got any motorcycle trails?
I think he learned his lessons in the past. I think he sticks around. I mean, if you can climb to number three at Louisville, there's a reason to stay.
Yeah, but if your motorcycle can climb hills, you got problems.
713 said, that was that Rockets fan? He is delusional.
Thank you.
So there you go, Kurt. I just don't know why he kept calling you Joel. I thought he knew you.
He does know me.
Well, what the hell?
I mean, look, I don't know if that gives me more street cred or sensitivity based on how you use it. I think if the emphasis, where you put the emphasis on the syllable becomes whether I get street cred or sensitivity out of it.
Joel, that kind of makes you sound...
Joel, then I'm good. Joel, or Joel, that doesn't sound quite as good.
All right, I'll let you...
I'm just telling you.
But I'll leave that to you.
I've known Kurt for a long time. I just didn't know him to be that passionate that soon about that team.
But Lamont said on Twitter, Lamont said, no adult man should be that opinionated based on one preseason game.
Correct.
That's very true.
Now,
Lamont.
Two, and it still sits.
Well,
the same.
I mean, is the first one count? That was against, like, that was their version of the Washington Generals, well, right?
Nick did
that
a play by play account of it.
Yeah. God,
on
Nick,
a notebook.
I almost unfollowed you on Twitter.
He followed the entire time. He followed you. You responded to one of my tweets.
I know. I almost unfollowed you for that ridiculousness. Don't let it happen again.
Sharks.
Don't let it happen again.
Exactly what you just said is exactly why I go. Why? Why would you even go? It's the Shanghai Sharks. It's not only preseason. It was the Shanghai Sharks, and you went.
Yeah. Well, the same guy that was hating on me for going was all about last night's game.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Watching
don't
the
you
Knicks.
Put that evil on me.
Have you seen how defensive he's gotten all day today?
I was into it for spurts. Like, I was watching a bit of the third quarter, second quarter.
You were
quarter.
Watching a preseason game, which is probably the official first preseason game, let's be
which
honest.
Which is funny, because just yesterday I was saying how I would rather hang myself than watch it. And don't think I wasn't hating myself as I'm laying in bed, flipping back and forth. And actually, at one point, forgot to flip back to the baseball game because I was so enthralled with the basketball game. I was so mad.
And you know,
I really
the dangerous
was.
Thing about doing that is that when you watch these games, you always just kind of like, especially being a Houston native, you always get these false hopes that they're going
to
do
so
well.
It's so easy to get caught up.
So my girl Maya, like, is the head of the Red Rowdies, and she's tweeting right now because she's had a chance to listen a little bit. She knows Kurt Lowe. So I hope she got to hear that call, but if she didn't, or if she did, I would believe that even Maya would tell you, two preseason games in, there is no way you are that much of a believer in the Rockets being a contender, let alone that their Harden's turned the corner, he's going to be better, and they're going to... Anybody see a guy named Jimmer Fredette, who's definitely one of the American add-ons to the Shanghai Sharks, go absolutely nuts against your Rockets, even though they got blown out? That tells you that defense is still going to be an issue. You hired an offensive coach, and your scapegoat is Jeff Bezdelic, who gets the blame if they don't play defense. That, in a nutshell, is why you don't get geeked up about the Rockets two preseason games in, one and a half, because the Shanghai Sharks aren't even an NBA team. Period, end of story. Are we good?
You got me.
Nick, you can still attend and get your,
come on,
get your media meal and get your press notes and believe that everybody thinks that there's going to be some breathtaking quote or action that comes out of the game.
Hey, I like Kurt Lowe. I like his false hope. I'm riding that train.
Well, guess
really?
What?
Yep.
Put the conductor's hat on and choo-choo, head on down the track. Because right now, we got nobody ready to ride that locomotive.
We know we know that they're not going past the 8 spot, according to your world. There's no chance.
Hashtag pursuit of the 8 seed. Okay?
Understand, though, that Joel has a certain level of hate that comes with those predictions.
I don't think it's hate. It's realism. I've escaped
the Kool-Aid.
Come on,
man. Well, it's the same way you think about the Vikings because you're a Packer fan. You're gonna carry a little bit of animosity about the Rockets with you, which is only natural.
See, here's the thing. Barry thinks he knows me well enough to be able to make these kinds of
it's
analysis about me.
Sure.
I'm a realist. For years, I had to be that guy waiting for that pitcher to come through that wall. Now, I can be that guy that can see the entire glass, whether it half full or half empty, and call it like I see it, and that's like I see it. Now, I could be proven wrong, and that's absolutely a possibility. But I also come from a place where I have resources at my fingertips that can have open discussions with me so that we can analyze these things accurately. That's all I'm saying. And
yeah,
with that, I leave it open for you to analyze it with us, because with that music, I'm here to tell you that you can join in, because we are ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, we got a good one going. As the guy that is just headed to the bathroom to wash his hands with hot water popped in, Raheel is in the building, so we're all pleased about that. Barry is not, because Barry's already put Raheel firmly on his list.
No, I love Raheel. I just don't love his cleanliness.
It's next to godliness,
that's,
you know.
That's it. Raheel's the man, though.
It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel till 4. We got a good one going, and we got more coming because, by the way, Keenan McCardale joins us at 3:30 to talk everything football, college pro, etc. If you want to get in on the conversation with Keenan, you can call, you can text, you can tweet. He is at Keenan McCardale. Barry is at Barry is funny. I am at Pac-Man Joel. Nick is at No Hit Nick. We are all here for you. We are all sitting here watching Twitter as we speak, too, because people have had a good time chiming in. I called out Maya, my girl from the Red Rowdies, who is one of my loyal listeners from way back in the day. She said she's excited about the Rockets, I say this carefully, ball movement, not bowel movements, ball movement, then their defense, and it's too early to be hyped about the chances in the West. Completely agree. That's why I got the voice of reason from someone who definitely still does bleed Rockets red, but is a realist. And so she was able to give me some insight via Twitter because she missed the call with Kurtlow, who she knows very well. So I appreciate that. So we got that to, from people chiming in as well. And the question is, and we'll get into this dialogue a lot more as we get closer to the regular season, because, again, it is only preseason. But do you think the Rockets are better than last year? Vegas put the odds at 43.5 for their win total, you know, over, under on that. I've already said over, but by one or two games, and injuries are going to play a factor. So I don't think they're that much better than they were a year ago. But with all that being said, Barry and I have had the discussion in the break, and we will throw it out to you if you want to get to this today, and we can also have this as an ongoing discussion. But where do you see the Rockets fitting within the Western Conference? Because regardless of how you weight them and what positions you put them in, there are several. The Rockets were vying for that 7-8 spot last year. And if they're only a couple games better than they were last year, now you have to pay attention to teams that had injuries, that were down, that added pieces to see where they fit this year, and also take into consideration teams like Utah and Minnesota are better than they were a year ago, and they're young, and they are continuing to get more, to be more improved on the floor. So we'll throw that out
there. I agree with you about Utah being better. I don't agree with you about Minnesota being significantly better than they were last year. In fact, I think, I mean, Utah could be a top five team in the conference.
Utah is loaded, and they added Joe Johnson, so they got a veteran in the locker room. They have a ton of young talent. That's never been argued. So I think that Utah is on the cusp of turning the corner and getting back into respectability and being a playoff team that you talk about. I think when you talk about the number one overall pick rookie of the year, Karl Anthony Towns, who has a ton of ability and proved it as a center. When you talk about a guy like Andrew Wiggins, who is a phenomenal talent on the wing. When you got a point guard like Ricky Rubio. When you got an athletic talent that's becoming more of a basketball player in Zach LaVine. And that's just to name a few. Minnesota is another team on the rise because of all that youth and all that talent that they've built up through draft picks for being bad for so long. Then you take an established coach like Tom Thibodeau, who's going to make them play defense.
And that's a fact. Yeah.
So now you've got the makings for a team that's going to be on the rise as well. I'm not saying they're going to be a playoff team this year. I do think that they're going to be a team that's going to contend for that eight spot because of the fact that they just have so much talent in that locker room. It's just young.
I would have loved for the Rockets to have gone out and gotten Thibodeau. That's what I felt like that team needed more than anything, was to go out and figure out how to play defense night in and night out.
Thibodeau's not going to coach a guy like Harden.
No, but when they had the opportunity, I would have liked to have seen them going to do it.
Tibbs worked with him with USA Basketball, so he saw a different side of him. So, you know, for you to have all the exuberance of the Rockets, but to sit, make a comment like that is a little tough because of the fact that any coach taking over a situation, it's better to have a guy with James Harden's talent level than not. So you have to consider it. But I think there's a reason why he took the Minnesota job, and that was because of the fact that he had so much young talent staring him in the face already in the fold that he could work and mold and build with, whereas a guy like Harden, who's established already, may not listen to him as much.
Exactly, and I think what will happen in that dynamic is that if it gets to the point where Harden just shuts him off, who do you think is going to be? Who do you think they're going to fire first? They're going
to Well, obviously, in the pro game, the coach pays the price for the players, unlike the college game where the players have to do what the coach asks or you lose your scholarship.
Yeah. I mean, I think if he can't click with Harden immediately, in the event that he can't click with Harden immediately, then they would have just fired Thibodeau anyway.
I think New Orleans is another team that is not there yet, but they as long as you got the brow and you add Buddy Hield and you add some guys that can help from a veteran standpoint, you know, they're improved. Phoenix is improved with draft picks. The Lakers are better than they were. But teams like Portland, you know, Portland was a playoff team last year, and they've got an all-world backcourt under contract now. So Portland's a team that you have to pay attention to. But when you look at the West and there's only eight spots, I don't think I'm too far off in saying that the Rockets are going to be fighting for 6, 7, and 8 because of the fact that the top has an established handful of teams that are going to be there regardless of where they fall in the seedings. It's going to be about 5 teams fighting for 3 to 4 spots at the end of the year.
Now, I agree with you. Now, see, here's the difference. Before, you were having them firmly entrenched in the 8 seed.
Not entrenched, but
pursuit. But I do agree with
it's
you.
It's more of a shot at the marketing campaign that has stayed pursuit for all these years, and I think it's unrealistic to say they're pursuit of the championship.
I'm just saying that earlier you were saying that they were 8. That you said pursuit of the 8. Mm-hmm. But I do agree with you that they could be vying for a 6 or 7 spot. I personally would have them, you know, based on the moves they have. I mean, I haven't watched but one game, but I could see them finishing 6th. In the Western Conference, and that would
I
be,
hope you're not shocked if it's a 7 or 8 seed.
No, I mean that wouldn't shock me. I mean, come on, you got to play a little defense to be able to move up. But it wouldn't surprise me if they finish ahead of Memphis and Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City to me is still they were the deepest team in the league last year with Kevin Durant. Even without Kevin Durant, they're still deep enough and talented enough to where they can compete in the Western Conference to have
what
a playoff
was their record
spot
without him?
At the table. And if you want me to answer those kind of questions, you have to give me those in the break where I have some time to.
But
I'm just saying
they were. That was a rhetorical question. They were sub 500 without Kevin Durant.
Not with Russell Westbrook.
Without
both of them, but with Westbrook, when you look at his numbers and what he did, I would fight that one because I believe Westbrook's coming out with a vengeance this year to prove he can be Batman as well as Robin, and that's why I think the Thunder are definitely in the top 6 in the Western Conference. So you add the Thunder to the top 3, which in my mind are still Golden State, the Clippers, and the Spurs. So that's 4 with the Thunder. I think Memphis, because of Chandler Parsons going there, because of some of the pieces that they've added, because of a healthy Marcus Gasol and a Zach Randolph and a Mike Conley, that they still have enough to be in the mix. Maybe not in the top 3, but they will be in the top 6. So if you look at that way, then OKC, Memphis, Dallas adding Harrison Barnes, and Bogut will be in the top 8 in my mind. So 6 teams, not including the Rockets, that I think, and I'll add Portland to that mix as a team that I believe is a playoff team. So there's 7 teams right there without the Rockets. There's Golden State, the Clippers, the Spurs, Memphis, Dallas, Portland, and Oklahoma City. At that point, those are 7 teams. Now, I'm not saying the Rockets can't hopscotch and leapfrog one or two of those teams. But I'm saying overall, hashtag pursuit is not what it used to be. And that's why, in a joking way, hashtag pursuit of the 8th spot is more realistic than pursuit of a champion.
Just going back to the Thunder thing, though, you can't. I know it's just preseason, but you can't overlook the fact that the Thunder lost overseas in overtime. I think they lost to like Real Madrid or something.
It doesn't matter. It's preseason. It really doesn't.
Russell was playing his part out,
but depending on the coaching staff, Russell may get his. And from an NBA standpoint, they love that because overseas you need your stars to star because that's what everybody wants to see.
Right.
But overall, he's still trying to work out rotations and things like that. We don't want to judge anything on preseason, but I believe that when they start playing for real, Oklahoma City will be a team that will be in the mix in terms of the Western Conference as a playoff team, and the rest remains to be seen. And we can talk about this. That's why we have fodder from now till the end of the season, which is fun, and we're in football season. So if you want to change the dialogue here and you want to change the topic, call in, text us, tweet us, and we'll get to your calls, your texts, your tweets, and your topics and more. 2 in the books, 1 to go, ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.